We were noticing how the honeybee was losing itself in the flower, attracted to the flower due to its fragrance and the pollen there. And for that reason, because it is the pollen and the fragrance is so sweet, there were bees always following Krishna. Because Krishna is sweet in every way. Today, Krishna willing, and by the mercy of Giriraj, Govardhan, and Srila Prabhupada, and so many nice devotees, we will hear something about the form of Krishna. Yesterday, we spoke about Krishna's holy name. And does anyone remember where we heard that if you are, want something beautiful, do you remember that? Was it Prabhupada who said that? If you want something beautiful, then take the lotus feet of Krishna. Does anyone remember where that was from? Because I couldn't exactly remember. But if you want something beautiful, if you're attracted to the beauty, to beauty, accept the lotus feet of Krishna, because there is nothing more beautiful than the lotus feet of Krishna. Ali Pushpa, could you hand out that July 4th lecture? Today we'll do something that we haven't done before. This is a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's that was given on July 4th in 1968 in Montreal, in Canada. Prabhupada had visited there. And unfortunately, the lecture itself, Prabhupada's speaking, the sound isn't there. So I'll read it in a slow way. Of course, I can't read it like Prabhupada spoke it. Raise your hand if you don't have one yet. Does anyone remember what we heard Jiva Goswami saying? I had mentioned that Prabhupada said the same thing, and we heard Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying it, and we heard Bhakti Vinod Thakur saying it, that the form of Krishna will manifest in the heart by the mercy of the holy name. But yet, even though that is such a pure and exalted stage, yet, by hearing about the glories of the holy name, we become attracted. And by hearing about the form of Krishna, we become attracted. And then material desires will go far away. So let us hear Prabhupada's words. This is in 1968. In Montreal. This is probably a month or two, perhaps even, after I took initiation. Probably one. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna consciousness is eternally existing in every human being. That's vibrating, Pool. Not all, in every living entity. What verse is that? Chaitanya Charitamrita? Nitya Siddha Krishna Preme Sadhya Kabonai Shravanadi Sura Chite Koribe Udai. Udaya means arising. It will arise if we chant and hear, Shravan Adi, hearing and the other processes of devotional service. Love for Krishna, which is in everyone's heart, will come out. Not only human being. You have seen the one picture, that of a calf, how he is loving Krishna by licking his body. You have seen it. Oh. I get it right. Let's see. This was one of the first pictures that was available of Krishna in the Krishna consciousness movement. Very, very, very attractive, very wonderful. And just to see the simple love, simple and pure love of the calf and Krishna, very, very touching. You have seen it. The calf, how he is loving Krishna by licking his body, you have seen it. So even in the calf, even in the animal, even in the bird, even in the beast, we have described all these things in our teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The Krishna book had not yet been published, but Prabhupada had just published the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That when Krishna was present in Vrindavan, how the cranes, how the cuckoos, how the peacocks, how the hawks, how the flowers, how the creepers were loving him. Krishna is all attractive, and this is Vrindavan. How every living entity is simply desiring to please Krishna. No false ego. This is the real ego. Sudha chitte. The heart is purified. Kodibe udoy. And this is what rises. So it is not a thing that we have to teach. Simply by good association, by reference, it comes out. It is called sutotita nyaya. Just like a man sleeping at night, he forgets everything. Where he is lying on and what he is doing and which family does he belong to, which country does he belong to, what is his occupation. Everything he forgets. Sleeping means forgetfulness. But as soon as he is awakened, he remembers everything. Everything. Oh, I have to go to the office, I have to do this thing, I have to meet such and such person. Everything. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is sleeping in everyone's heart. He is hankering. He's hankering after how to love Krishna. But he is being checked up. He is hankering. That Maya is checking him. Don't try to love Krishna. If you love Krishna, then you will forget all these material activities. Maya is speaking. Smeram bangitraya parachitam sachi vistirna dristam vamsi nyasta dara kishalayam ujjalam chandrakena govindakyam hari tanum vita keshitito pakante ma prekshishtas tavayadi sake bandusange astiranga. This is a very nice verse composed by Rupa Goswami. That one friend of one gopi, she is warning, my dear friend, please do not go that side. Where? In the Keshi Tirtopakante, on the bank of Keshi Ghat, Yamuna. Why are you warning me? Why are you telling me not to go to that place? Because there is that boy whose name is Govinda. Don't go there. What is he doing? He is simply smiling. And with his flute. And he is so bright by the rays of the moon that he looks very beautiful. Then what happens? No, I want to do it myself. I want to enjoy. One time, when Prabhupada was in San Francisco in 1967, he saw this picture and recited this verse. And he asked the devotees to write this verse underneath this picture. He's very attractive, isn't he? Don't look at him. Don't look at him. You'll be finished because he's standing there with his flute. He is so bright by the rays of the moon. And he looks very beautiful. Now if you go see him, then you will forget your engagement with family and friendship and love and everything. Oh, he will absorb everything, so don't go there. She is warning, don't go. In other words, Krishna is so attractive by his activities, transcendental activities, by his beauty, by his opulence, by his strength, everything. He is so attractive, he is all attractive. So please, none of you should look at that picture. but I think you've all looked, and now your material lives are finished. But your material lives were finished long ago. It is just a matter of time. In this place, right here where we are sitting, right where we are looking, this all-attractive person, Krishna, so beautiful, was walking. Right here. With his garment, his dhoti, that was yellow, bright yellow, like lightning, like gold. And his soft and sweet smile. Maybe we can bring that one over a little closer so we can't look at him more easily. So we won't be able to see him at all. Maybe. In other words, Krishna is so attractive by his activities, transcendental activities, by his beauty, by his opulence, by his strength, everything. If you read the history of Krishna's activities in the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, they are so attractive. This is why we are asked to read the Srimad Bhagavatam and read the Bhagavad Gita, so we become attracted by Krishna. But what did we hear yesterday? We heard that if we have material contamination in the heart, we will find these things which are ultimately all attractive, we will find them not at all attractive, like a person who has jaundice. He does not find things that are sweet intrinsically. He does not find them. They taste sweet to his tongue, but it is because of his jaundice. But the cure... the chair idea didn't work. No.
Put it on the flip chart.
No, but someone else is there.
What if you turn the chair upside down? We could put it
no.
on.
No, no, it can't be below Prabhupada there. Yeah, okay, see if he can... Yeah, that's a perfect place for him, as long as he doesn't fall. Just right on top of Govanan Hill. Attracting all living entities. So this is why we're supposed to read, hearing about Krishna, so we become attracted to him, more and more attracted. This is natural. This is not artificial. Krishna consciousness is so nice that once situated in Krishna consciousness, you will forget all nonsense of this material life. So this movement is simply to revive that dormant consciousness. Nothing artificial. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, it has been made very simple. Simply chant Hare Krishna and dance. That's all. You haven't got to be very highly educated in the university. You haven't got to exercise in so many yogic processes, sitting postures, or hard press your nose, or you keep your head down, nothing, no labor. Simply come here, chant Hare Krishna, and take Krishna prasadam. This very simple method, you will revive your Krishna consciousness. You know all that 2 years ago in 1966, I started this class alone. I was chanting only. That's all. And these boys and girls, gradually they came, and they became attracted. I did not teach them any artificial method of yoga practice, but simply I requested them, you chant and hear. So very easy process. You can revive your dormant Krishna consciousness simply, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Korea Udai. The process is that as you go on chanting, then all the dirty things within your heart will be cleansed. Simply, we want to cleanse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended this chanting, and he has said that the results of chanting will be, the first installment of your gain will be that your heart will be cleansed. This we heard yesterday as Chaito Darpanam Arjanam. The first thing which is being tried by the so many mental speculators, how to cleanse the heart, That will be achieved in the first installment by simply chanting Hare Krishna. Chaito Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. So Krishna is very beautiful. Now, so these are the pastime areas of Krishna. Krishna and all his associates. The grass, the trees, the cows, the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, the gopis. Every day Krishna would wander here and have his pastimes. And always, we won't speak about the pastimes today, that it, Krishna willing will be for another day. Always he was showing this exquisite form. Now, Adi, could you hand out the three verses? We're going to discuss three very famous and important verses that describe the form of Krishna. They are from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first one is spoken by Lord Brahma. And this one, Brahma speaks as the first of his prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. And the background of this verse, or the prayers of Lord Brahma, is that, and we know the pastime, how Krishna had been herding the cows and playing with his friends, the calves. And as we were hearing in the 12th chapter, Krishna, which we didn't hear yet, he killed Agasura. And Brahma heard the demigods, their praise of Krishna. And he descended from the higher planets to see what was going on. And he saw this little beautiful boy being praised. And he saw that this little beautiful boy had killed this great demon. So Brahma wished to see further pastimes of this boy and see if he was actually his master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what did he do? We know what he did. He stole away the calves and the boys. And then he returned in just a moment of his calculation, which was a year. And amazingly enough, although he knew he had taken away the calves and the boys. The calves and the boys, each and every one of them, were right there, exactly as if he hadn't taken them away. He went and checked to see if the boys and calves that he had taken were where he had placed them, and they were indeed there. But yet, those calves and boys were playing with Krishna as if nothing had happened. So Brahma became bewildered. How is it possible they are there and they are there simultaneously? And then Krishna, to take away the bewilderment of Brahma, but actually to increase the bewilderment of Brahma, and to show Brahma or give Brahma a glimpse of who he was, he showed how those calves and boys were actually all Vishnu forms. They were none different from him. And these forms, thousands, unlimited of them, numbers of them, were covered from toe to the top of their heads, these Vishnu forms, with tulsi leaves. And every living entity in the universe was worshipping them. And they were entering in and out of Krishna's body. This body, the body that looked like this, but younger. The body that looked like this, the body that looked like this. Unlimited potency in and out. Worshipped by every living entity. All attractive, all powerful. Unlimitedly powerful, but yet unlimitedly beautiful. No huge bulging forearms and this and that with veins sticking out and oiled slick body going like this, but unlimitedly powerful. Inconceivably unlimited powerful. Sometimes the devotees tended to draw Krishna in that way with muscles. And Prabhupada said, no, he doesn't need muscles to lift anything. He's unlimitedly powerful, but yet unlimitedly beautiful and all attractive. So Brahma saw this little boy standing there, and he was completely astounded, and he fell to the ground with his helmets, and he saw that he too was worshipping Krishna, and unlimited Brahmas were worshipping Lord Vishnu. He fell to the ground in complete astonishment, and he began to offer prayers. And this, the first prayer that he offered, is the first verse in the 14th chapter, describes what he was looking at, the beauty of what he was looking at, Krishna. And we can see, so it's Namo Namo Vidyate Brahmavapusheta Didambaraya. Everyone. Namo Tadidambaraya. Namidyate Brahmavapusheta Didambaraya. Tadidambaraya. So Lord Brahma said, know me, I offer my prayers. My praise. Idya means O most worshipable one. So he recognizes that Krishna, although standing there like an uncultured fellow with a lump of foodstuff in his left hand, he doesn't even know enough to keep his food in his right hand. He's wearing no shoes and wandering around, but yet for the most intelligent and powerful person within the universe, he recognizes, Nomi Idya, O most worshipable one, Te unto you. Abra, who is like, who Vapushe, whose body is like a dark cloud. Tadit, with lightning. Ambaraya, and whose garment is like lightning. So Krishna's body is a beautiful bluish, blackish hue that is completely effulgent at the same time. One time during the rainy season, it was last year, not this year, one morning, fairly early in the morning, I saw a monsoon cloud with the sun newly rising, being covered by this monsoon cloud. And it was so incredible because that was the closest thing that I had seen to resembling the color of Krishna, because Krishna is, he's megasham, he's darkish like a cloud, but this type of a cloud, a monsoon cloud filled with rain, it was simultaneously darkish and completely effulgent. And it was shockingly beautiful. Shockingly beautiful. So Lord Brahma was looking at this little boy, 4 or 5 years old, who was darkish in complexion, effulgent, and his garment was like lightning. Sometimes Krishna's garment, and also Srimati Radharani's complexion, tapta kanchana gorangi, compared to molten gold. And one time, with the desire to see molten gold, I went to the Perth Mint, where they had a display every day. They had some gold and they melted it, and they were showing how gold was refined. So I went there and I saw what molten gold looks like, and it is also incredible. It's really unique, because we know what gold is, but it has an effulgence when it's molten. Has anyone ever seen molten gold? Yes, It's incredible, yes? Yes? It's like from a different dimension, practically speaking. It's a beautiful yellowish golden color. Golden color, of course, it's gold. But it's really effulgent. You can practically see the rays coming from it. This is Krishna's transcendental body. Not it is, but this is the closest we can describe it. When in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kadambini, when he actually sees Krishna's form, he falls down to the ground and says, "Previously, I have compared your transcendental body to a darkest rain cloud or to things like gold of this world, but it actually has nothing to do with these things. This is the material world. But how can we in the material world understand the glorious effulgence and beauty of Krishna, who is fully transcendental? We can point at it and say it is something like that." Just like in 1966, close to the time when that lecture we read was given, one hippie who had taken drugs, obviously, said, asked Prabhupada if Krishna consciousness, if the result of Krishna consciousness was like LSD. LSD? Krishna consciousness? A drug? But Prabhupada, being very kind and trying to give this person some glimpse of an understanding of what Krishna consciousness was, said, "It is like an ocean of LSD." If you think that there is some pleasure in this, of course it's not pleasurable, and Prabhupada was always critical of it. But if you think there is some pleasure in that, just imagine an ocean of that substance that you are glorifying a drop of. That's Krishna consciousness. So we say that Krishna's dhoti, or the complexion of the skin of Srimati Radharani, tapta kanchana gorangi radhe brindavani shri brishabanu sute devi pranamami hari priye. We can compare it to molten gold or lightning, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, "Now that I have seen you, I understand that my comparisons were terrible, impossible, having nothing to do with what I am now seeing." So Brahma is seeing this. The most powerful person in the universe is seeing this little boy who is all powerful and all effulgent and all beautiful. And he's wandering around Vrindavan. Tadid ambaraya gunjavatam sa, and he has his garment is like lightning, and gunja avatamsa, he has ornaments. he has an ornaments. The earrings will come. It could be that his ornaments for the ear. He's wearing gunja berry earrings. How? As they would say in contemporary youth society, how cool. How amazing that he's wearing these beautiful little black and reddish berries as earrings. And paripicha, peacock feather, lasat, resplendently with a peacock feather upon his head. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful, how beautiful. So this is what Brahma is seeing. Vanya Srije, he's wearing a garland of vanamala, of forest flowers, and Kavala, he has a morsel of food in his hand. Vashana, buffalo horn bugle, we heard about that when he was herding the cows. Vetra, oh, Kavala, morsel of food, Vetra, stick, a buffalo horn bugle, Venu, a flute, Lakshma, Sriye. His beauty was characterized by his soft pade, his soft lotus feet. So he was offering his obeisances, Nomidya, unto you, the son of Nanda Maharaj, who is so beautifully standing before me now. So here is the translation. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. Why should Brahma or any living entity offer prayers to please Krishna? Why should we praise Krishna? Because this is natural. It is natural, and it removes the envy within the heart. And we should all know that our turning our back on beautiful Krishna means false ego. It means that there is actual enmity with Krishna within the heart. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. There is envy or enmity with Krishna. And praising him. And this is for every conditioned soul. This is the essence of false ego. There is anger, there is enmity, there is envy of Krishna. No matter how good someone in the material world appears, it is only an appearance. Because their consciousness is based on false ego. So praising Krishna, glorifying him and his qualities and his form and his name and his activities, it purifies the heart. Because the envious person, he wants to be praised himself. And this is, of course, one of the dangers of taking to Krishna consciousness and progressing a while, and everyone will say, oh, you're giving a nice class, you've given a nice class, you've done this nicely, you've done this, you've done this, how nicely you sing, how nicely you do that. And there's such a tendency of the conditioned soul to think, yes, how nicely I have done. This is false ego. And this tendency itself will block us from Krishna. To think, I am anything. To think of ourselves as anything but Krishna's eternal servant, the eternal servant of Krishna's devotees, the eternal servant of Guru, Vaishnavas, Mahaprabhu, Sisi Radha and Krishna. Servant, servant, servant. To step outside of that identity for half a moment means maya. So how advanced does a person like Srila Prabhupada have to be that Mahaprabhu trusts him enough that his container, the container of his love and devotion for Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga and Sisi Radha and Krishna is so complete that he can take that praise and the adulation and the money and the garlands and everyone saying Jai Prabhupada. And you saw, when, raise your hand if you noticed this point when you saw the pictures of Prabhupada yesterday evening. Raise your hand if you were here yesterday evening and saw the pictures of Prabhupada. It was so obvious that he was from a different dimension. What could you say? You know, all the youthful, exuberant Hare Krishna chanting around, and Prabhupada was always deep and grave. So deep. No false ego. So he could be in the midst of that and not become proud. No false ego. No enmity with Krishna. No other identity other than I'm serving my Guru Maharaj. My worshipable deity is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My eternal home is in the service of Radha and Krishna. No movement from that shelter. My dear devotees, I would like to say that we try to avoid the difficulties of life. It's natural. But as we all know by now, if anyone over 12 years old or 16 should have realized that it is impossible to avoid the difficulties of life. They come, they go. Sitosna sukha dukha daha. Happiness comes, misery comes. Happiness, misery, 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 happiness, happiness. According to our karma, we get different proportions. But we try naturally to avoid the miseries and have the happiness that comes. But dvandva mohena bharata, this tendency of a conditioned soul is the illusion that binds him to this material world. And instead of making that our attempt, we should watch our consciousness and see where our shelter is. In misery, in happiness, do we take it upon ourselves? If we take the praise, we have to take the criticism. But instead of taking any of it, we have to fix our consciousness as when someone praises, maybe sometimes it is your duty to say yes or not say anything or not say every time, oh no, no, I am a fallen soul. But inside, we have to be thinking like this. Not have to in the sense that we don't have a choice or an alternative, but have to in the sense that if we wish to be with Krishna, we have to not think of ourselves in any other way other than servant. Servant of the servant of the servant. A very, very humble position. That is the price for being with Krishna. Seeing this beautiful, 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 unlimitedly beautiful. Remember again that we heard the first day that Krishna is Sadashwaryapurna. What does that mean? Yes, and he is full. That's what he's composed of. But also that each of those opulences, the fame, the beauty, the strength, the knowledge, the wealth, the renunciation, one more? Wisdom. No, I said that. He possesses each of those to an unlimited degree. My dear devotees, what does unlimitedly beautiful mean? Does that mean that he's five times more beautiful than the most beautiful person of this world? 10 times as beautiful? 15, 20, 100 times more beautiful? 1,000 times more beautiful than the most beautiful? We can't even imagine what 1,000 times more beautiful means. What to speak of unlimitedly beautiful? So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when he is actually confronted with the unlimited beauty of Krishna, he falls to the ground, unconscious. It's incomprehensible. To us, to me. But we can get a glimpse